Here at Daleville Christian Church, we utilize some 20 statements of faith found in the Bible, found in the New Testament. Today's affirmation of our faith is from 1 Peter, the second chapter, the 24th and 25th verse, where it says, "Christ bore our sins in his body on the tree that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds we have been healed, for we were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and guardian of our souls." The scripture lesson for today is from Mark's Gospel book in the 11th chapter, verses 22 through 25. The setting of this is Jesus has already entered the city of Jerusalem from Palm Sunday as he prepares for his own arrest and death. Jesus said, "Have faith in God." Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth. If anyone says to this mountain, 'Go, throw yourself into the sea,' and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. And when you stand praying, if you hold anything against anyone, forgive him, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you your sins." May the Lord add his blessing to this reading of his holy word. I would only point out that the statement about whatever you ask for in prayer, believe you've received it, it will be yours, is immediately followed with forgiveness of others. We have been talking since Easter about new life in Christ. Easter means new life for us. What we've discovered is that new life and how to live a new life might not be all that clear to us, and we've talked about why that might be true for us, because people in the Midwest have gotten the impression that life can be divided up into doing wrong and doing right, and therefore we wind up believing that we are doing what pleases God if we just stop doing wrong things. Well, that's probably a good start in living a new life, but simply stopping wrong behavior is hardly a new life that Jesus came to give us, that Jesus died that we might have life, and Jesus said, "Have it to the full." And we've been focusing a lot on living and doing and acting. But today's word, you can do right where you are, right now. And today we take up a topic that is misunderstood all around the place. Today we talk about forgiveness. But before you think you know what I'm talking about, hear me when I say lots of people do not know what forgiveness is. There is more misunderstanding concerning forgiveness than almost anything else. Here's the good news about forgiveness. Most people, including pagans and atheists, know that Jesus said we should forgive. People who know very little about Christianity have some idea that the followers of Jesus are supposed to forgive. That's great. Here's the bad news about what the Bible teaches about forgiveness. Most people, including Christians, do not really know what forgiveness is. It might help us to sort out some terms. First, there are different words that get mixed up in the forgiveness pot, and they're not all the same thing. That's why we have different words, so we can talk about different things. Here are some terms: forgiveness, reconciliation, forgetting, excusing. So just so these words can all have their own meaning, we want to remember that forgiveness is not reconciliation, and it's not forgetting, and forgiveness is not excusing. Those are all different. Forgiveness is different from reconciliation, and that's different from forgetting, and that's different from excusing. They're all different. Not the same thing. This might be a good time to remind ourselves of another quote that is not in the Bible. "To err is human, to forgive divine." Now, I believe that statement is true, but it's not in the Bible. It was written by a British poet, Alexander Pope. I believe the statement to be true because it was our Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, who spoke about forgiveness, our Heavenly Father's forgiveness, and our forgiveness of others, and Jesus himself died that we might be forgiven. Forgiveness isn't just divine in a generic sense. It is from God the Father through Jesus Christ. And the phrase forgive and forget, also not in the Bible. The phrase forgive and forget, not in the Bible, might have its origins in an old Spanish novel, or maybe it was Shakespeare. Now, we know that forgiveness is important. It's mentioned in the New Testament over 60 times. And the word forgiveness is on the lips of our Lord Jesus about 30 times. Now, it's interesting to me that as a pastor of 30-plus years, forgiveness is one of those things that followers of Jesus know they need to do and often will do, but really don't want to do. Isn't that odd? I mean, some people will believe they need to tithe their income. That isn't what the Bible says, and so you need to do that. But they will feel they should tithe, and then they won't tithe. And people will feel they should love their neighbor, and they should, but then they won't do it. Forgiveness is one of those things that believers will do, but really don't want to do. It's so hard for some of us to forgive that it really starts to bother us. Sometimes we'll even conclude we're ashamed that we can't forgive someone. I'm in hopes that if we figure out what the Bible says and figure out what the Bible doesn't say, we will all be on our way to forgiving others. First of all, to forgive someone, someone has to offend us or take something from us. So if someone commits libel, lies about us, they have taken something from us. Sometimes people or things are taken from us. Murder takes people from us. Accidents can take people or abilities from us if we lose a part of ourselves. Crimes can take people's innocence or sense of value from them. And in some cases, the things that were taken can never be replaced or returned. The damage is permanent. And usually we feel that the offender owes us something. They owe us an apology. They owe us restitution. They need to replace what was taken. Or they owe us an amend, to amend, attempt to right the wrong somehow. But we do feel the other person owes us. Forgiveness means releasing the offender from any obligation. Forgiveness means releasing the offender from any obligation. Forgiveness is saying there will be no penalty, no payback. There will be no eye for an eye. Forgiveness is saying there will be no penalty, no payback. There will be no eye for an eye. I've mentioned Pastor Craig Groeschel's book before, and I turn to it again. He remembers that early in his life that his sister was sexually molested by a family friend. The crime was committed by his sister's teacher. In this case, Craig Groeschel was not directly the victim, but his loved one was. Craig certainly felt that his sister was owed a lot. His sister's innocence had been stolen. His sister's life had been altered. Her future relationships would be negatively affected. Trust had been broken. Pastor Groeschel admits he didn't want restitution for his sister. Pastor Craig Groeschel wanted revenge. Revenge on the man who did this to his sister. Pastor Craig Groeschel wanted vengeance. Now, Pastor Craig Groeschel could still preach about forgiveness, but surely the Bible and Jesus did not mean that Pastor Groeschel should be expected to forgive his sister's teacher. Pastor Groeschel simply wrote, "Forget about that. That's not going to happen." But Craig Groeschel was still listening to the Bible, and he was still listening to Jesus, and he heard a sermon on forgiveness. But Craig Groeschel said, no way. Not only did Craig Groeschel say no, he didn't want to forgive the teacher. Craig Groeschel said that even if he wanted to forgive the teacher, he had no idea how to do it. It was just too horrible to consider. So this is how Craig Groeschel got on the pathway of forgiveness. It began with willingness to forgive. And I like how Pastor Groeschel described it. And God ever so slowly chipped away at the rough edges of my heart. You see, it took time. It took time to get to the first step. And he says, I ask God for his help to forgive. That's it. That's all that Craig Groeschel could pray. Help me to forgive. Notice he hasn't forgiven him yet. He's come to the first step. Help me to forgive. So this example of forgiveness began with prayer, and the first prayer was for help. Help me. Help came within a few weeks. It was a Bible study reflecting on the verse where Jesus says that we should pray for our enemies. Craig decided he could pray for his enemies, and one of them was this teacher. Craig knew that he wanted to pray for the teacher, but he wanted to pray for accidents or ill health or disease. He wanted the teacher's life to be miserable. Craig wanted to pray that, but he didn't. He also did not pray for the teacher to receive a prosperous life. He wasn't going to pray that either. Craig decided that he could pray a 3-second prayer. God, I pray you work in this man's life. God, I pray you work in this man's life. And that's it. That is all Craig Groeschel could do. Notice he hasn't forgiven him yet. All he could pray was, God, work in this man's life. That's all Craig Groeschel could pray, but he prayed it. So please notice two things. Notice how much time this is taking. And please notice it also takes Jesus working in Craig Groeschel. Now I'm beginning to think that forgiveness is not something we do. Forgiveness is divine. Forgiveness is something the Lord works in us. I'm beginning to think that forgiveness is not something we do. That forgiveness is something that the Lord works in us, and it takes time. Hear the rest of Craig Groeschel's story. Praying for Max, the teacher's name, praying for Max over time changed me. It made me a different person, so different that I began to contemplate the impossible. I began to contemplate asking God to help me forgive Max. I knew I was supposed to forgive Max for what he did to my sister, but I honestly didn't have a clue how to do it. God had convicted me and convinced me to begin, but Max's actions still seemed unforgivable. Nothing in me felt like forgiving, but I still made the choice to try. By faith, I asked God to help me forgive Max for what he'd done to my sister. By faith, I told God that I released Max from his sin. My prayer didn't feel sincere, but at least I was trying. Daily, I bounced between wanting to forgive and wanting revenge. By nothing short of the power of God, I finally started to believe forgiveness was possible. I can't overstate what God had to do in my heart to get me to this point. This predator never apologized. He never attempted to right his wrong. He never begged for our forgiveness. My heart had been stone hard. Only God could soften it to the point that I would even consider forgiving this molester. Miraculously, that's what God did. To this day, I don't know exactly how or when it happened, but it did. By God's grace, I had forgiven Max for his sin and abuse. With God's help, I'd done the humanly impossible, and I felt as though a spiritual weight had been lifted. The Bible became clear. God seemed nearer. My heart was purer. Please notice that Pastor Craig says how God was at work to make this happen. And also notice that in Pastor Craig's case, forgiveness lifted a weight from him. I want to close with another example, but briefly. I want to speak with you briefly about Carrie Rawson, whose father was a serial killer. Eventually, Carrie wrote to her father in prison and forgave him. And after that letter to her father, Carrie changed. Carrie's husband said, before she forgave him, she thought of herself as a serial killer's daughter. But as soon as she forgave him, she was Carrie again. She was her own person, just Carrie Rawson. You see, forgiveness doesn't necessarily do anything for the person we forgive. Forgiveness blesses the one who forgives. Forgiveness blesses the forgiver. Forgiveness blesses the forgiver. But forgiveness is not tidy. I hesitate to mention this true story that was reported this year, the story of Carrie Rawson. It's the story of a woman whose father was a serial killer. This poor daughter could even remember particular events in her life when her dad was not home that fit in perfectly with the murders that her father confessed and was convicted of committing. This daughter, Carrie Rawson, was a victim also. The man who had just before his arrest talked to her on the phone about being sure to check the oil in her car, a man who seemed to care about her, had a double life as a horrible monster. I've given you the link in the sermon notes if you want to read the whole report. The story is just too traumatic, but Carrie Rawson, a faithful follower of Jesus Christ, found the power to forgive her father. Her experience with the Lord was a little more confrontational with God than Pastor Craig Groeschel's experience. Carrie spoke to her church early in 2013. February 2013, Carrie spoke at her church again from a prepared speech. God told me, you have a dad problem. You have a trust and obedience problem. You trusted and obeyed your earthly father and he hurt you, so now you're holding out on me. You've been holding out on me for years. The Lord said, let's fix that. And the Lord told me that I had a forgiveness problem, which is a love problem, which is a God problem. And I told the Lord, I love you. And the Lord said, then show me. Do it. That was in February of 2013. By the end of the year, sometime in December, Carrie reported that she had forgiven her serial killer father. I only mention this horrible case to remind us all that all things are possible with God. That with us, we human beings, there is much that is impossible. Forgiveness, for example, is often impossible for us. But with God, all things are possible. Only with the Lord is forgiveness possible. Begin with willingness. And then be led to where the Lord wants you to go. Take baby steps if we need to, but allow ourselves to be led in this work of Jesus. If Jesus, who died a horrible death so that we can be forgiven, our Lord Jesus knows how hard it can be to forgive. Jesus doesn't expect us to do the impossible. Jesus only asks that we be willing to let Jesus do the impossible in us. Jesus doesn't expect us to do the impossible. Jesus only asks that we be willing to let Jesus do the impossible in us. Forgiveness. Amen.